This morning we're going to speak about a God and Savior that you can't live without. And we're not going to be just focusing on God and Jesus and how we can't live without them 100%. But we're going to look at some aspects that without them, we can't have eternal life. And without them, we can't go to heaven. And so that's going to be the main focus for our study this morning. First, we're going to look at the beginning. In the beginning, the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we've got already that in the beginning was God. And now we see, we'll go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, what He does. Says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I guess I could have read these two verses and finished the lesson right there, because that shows that we can't live without God, because God created us. God came and He breathed life into our nostrils, and He made us. He created us. That's enough evidence right there that we can't live without God. See, God only gave us, He only gave Adam and Eve one commandment. He only told them one thing to do, and that was how not to die. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, He says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve only had to do one thing. It was not eat. And if they did that, they could live. They had life. And that's how God promised them a life. And they went and did the exact opposite. Now, real quick, we're going to look at three possibly earthly hindrances that may cause you to not have eternal life, that may keep you away from life. Now, these are things that in the world we've been told that, you know, these are what we have to have. These are what our goals are. These are what you got to go for. You know, everybody, this is really your whole purpose for life. If you're living an earthly life, possessions, family, and money. And these are three things that are very dangerous and that can keep you from going, from having eternal life. First, we're going to look at possessions. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you want possessions, you can have it. If you want possessions, that's where your heart's going to be, and that's what you're going to be working towards. You're not going to be working towards an eternity with God. He says not to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. We have a better place where we have treasures waiting for us, and that's in heaven. Another thing is family. And I mean, here you may not necessarily think that your family is something that's keeping you away from God, that's keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing each and every day. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 29 says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. So this is a way that we can get everlasting life. Now, this isn't something that you necessarily have to do to get earthly life. You don't have to leave your family. You don't have to, you know, not be with them. But if there's something that's keeping you away from doing what you got to do, something that's keeping you away from serving God, then God will bless you for putting that off and for serving Him instead. Lastly, real quick, we're going to look at money. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I mean, money is something that's obviously really dangerous. You find yourself, you know, wishing, oh, I wish I had a little bit more money. I could do this. I could do that. I could get possessions. You know, I could do something with that. And that's something that we've been commanded not to do. You know, when you think about these things, these earthly hindrances, And it made me kind of think of Job and how, you know, he lost his whole, all his possessions. He lost all of his family. And, you know, before that, his wife went in to curse God. And Job wouldn't do that. He had the faith that he would still serve God and that he would still look for God and serve him. And, you know, that's the same determination that we need to have this morning. That's the same determination that's going to get us to heaven. Now, here are the few things that we're going to look at this morning that we can't live without. Something that, you know, if we don't have God and if we don't have Jesus, we can't do these things. And these things don't even matter. If we don't have God and we don't have Jesus, some of these things wouldn't even exist if we didn't have Jesus. Now, some of these things we're going to focus on a little bit more. And some of these things we'll just read a scripture or maybe just two, looking at them. First, we're going to look at studying the scriptures. John chapter 5 and verse number 39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify unto me." You know, in Timothy, it says that we study to show ourselves approved, and that's something we can do. We have eternal life if we can search the scriptures, because if you search the scriptures, you're most likely wanting to do what the scriptures tell you to do. And you're most likely going to be doing those things if you're really studying the scriptures. And so that's something that we just can't live without. And that's something that without Jesus and without God, we don't have any scripture. In Hosea 4 and verse number 6, they're talking about how the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the same thing can happen to you. The same thing, if you don't have knowledge for the Bible and studying the scriptures, then you will be destroyed. Next, we're going to look at prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, we're going to read through verse number 7 here. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It says everything in prayer. We should do everything in prayer. You know, I did a lesson, this is the last time I spoke here, I spoke about prayer and the importance in prayer and why we even need to pray. You know, there's other commandments in the Bible that say pray without ceasing. Well, this is something that we can't do. And without God, if there's not a God, then there's no point in praying. And that's something that, you know, we get our blessings. God tells us that if we pray to Him, truly, that He will give us what we're asking for. Next, we're going to look at having a pure heart. In Psalms chapter 51, verse number 17, says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So basically in Psalms, what God's saying is a pure heart isn't a heart that's never gone through any difficulties. A pure heart's not a heart that's completely perfect and that doesn't, you know, that's never experienced anything bad in their lives or any kind of sin, but it's someone that's experienced those things and that's made it through them. It's someone that's experienced those things and that's been able to end up on top. And they're the people that he says here in Matthew that are going to see God. If you can overcome those things and you have a pure heart, then you will see God and you will get to go to heaven. Luke chapter 8, verse number 15 says, "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." These are the people that are on the good ground. These are the people that are bringing forth fruit with patience. And you know, this verse is a good way to ask yourself, if you have a pure heart, are you bringing forth fruit with patience? If you're not, then you may not have a pure heart. Next, we're going to look at love. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so we can go back and we can look at this verse here in Luke. And if you can say, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." This is what we've been told to do. So if you're not keeping God's commandments, you may not have a pure heart. If you aren't keeping God's commandments, You may not love him, you know, and that's something that we can't do without him. If we don't keep his commandments, if we don't love him, then we probably won't have life. Mark chapter 12, we're going to read two verses here, starting in verse 30. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So these are the commandments that we have. There's no other commandments that are greater than these commandments. And how can we do this without God? How can we do this without Jesus? These are the greatest commandments that we have. The ones that you need to focus on the most, because most of the time under these two commandments, if you're following those, the other ones will fall into place and the other ones will be easier to follow if you're loving all the people around you. Next, we're going to look at faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now I'm going to use something that I've seen Dad do in a lesson before, and it really made me think. And you have your faith. And you have a scale of 1 to 10. And I want you to ask yourselves this morning where your faith is. You can't get your faith without Jesus. You can't get your faith without God. And where is your faith? Is your faith a 1? If you think your faith's a 1, do you think you're going to be able to have life? Do you think you have a life in eternity with a faith of a 1? Or do you think a 10 will get you to heaven? Do you think a 10 is a good enough faith? Would a 9 get you to heaven? Is your faith a 7? Because it seems to me like the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is if you have a number 10. If your faith is 100%. In God and in Jesus. This is the only way that we can be living. Next is hope. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." See, these things go hand in hand, hope and God. If you don't have God, you don't have hope. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have hope. Jesus gave us hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18 and 19 says, "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." So hope is our anchor for the soul. Hope is what puts our soul together. You know, you've heard before, I know I've heard it several times, that if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. And somebody might say, well, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. So, I mean, well, that's the same thing. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have any hope. From what Jesus did for us, if we don't have that, we literally don't have anything here in the world, and we especially don't have any hope of an eternal life. So that leads us to salvation, which is where we get our hope. Mark chapter 16, we'll read verses 15 and 16. It says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I mean, do you believe? Have you had salvation? Do you have salvation? This is something that we can't get without Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It says that, you know, if we're not born again through baptism, then we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is life. The kingdom of God is life forever. So if we don't have salvation, then we don't have life. That's something that we cannot live without. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man has life unless you have Jesus. No man has life unless you have salvation. Unless you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, then you don't have life. You won't have a life for eternity. And the only way to do that is through Jesus. Lastly, this morning, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 26, we're going to read through verse number 29. It says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. See, a way that we get life is by showing Jesus' death, by remembering Jesus' death. Man, it's something we can't do without him. We can't do the Lord's Supper without Jesus because we're showing his death. Continue in verse number 28. It says, but let a man examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Just as easily as we can get life through the Lord's Supper because of Jesus, we can have death. If you're not doing these things in the right way, then you've got death. I mean, it's a way that you may do it for the exact opposite reason, on accident. You may not be doing it the right way, and that may be why you don't have life. John chapter 6, we're going to read verses 53 through 58 here. It says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. We can't do this without Jesus. We can't do this without God. But if we do, because we have Jesus and we have God, then we can live forever. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 21 says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So this shows you, this can apply to any of the things that we've looked at this morning. We cannot do both. We cannot partake of the Lord's Supper and of the table of the devils. We cannot do both, because if you do both, then you don't have life. If you just partake of the Lord's Supper, then you have life. If you're doing that worthily, that's a way that you can have life. We got a couple more verses we're going to look at, and we're going to close this morning. Revelation 21 and verse number 6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. See, anybody can have this. Anybody can do this. Anybody can have life for eternity. But you can't do this without Jesus. You can't do this without a Savior that was willing to die for you. You can't do this without a God that created you. Finally, in John chapter 14, we're going to read three verses here. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you." So this is where it all comes to an end. You know, he's coming back. Do you have life? Do you have salvation? Can you live without Jesus and can you live without God? Because you can't. There's no way that you can.